Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Seems can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. We take you up until 2 here on the program. It's a brisk day out there. We got our hoodies on. Marcos looks like Art Basel.
Art Basel.
Art Basel. What kind of hoodie you got on, Leroy? What is that, just your red sweatshirt?
It's orange.
That is not orange.
Ooh.
It is.
What?
Mm. Behind me is red. This is orange.
They're the same color. They're really not.
No, they're not.
Chat, does Leroy have a red sweatshirt on right now or orange?
Let me see. I got to see this.
First of all, this is, isn't
Whoa,
this?
Oh, no way. That's orange, dude.
That's not orange. Nah, I don't think so,
same
dude.
Same color. We have the same color.
Hmm.
Look. It's dark orange.
I don't think so, dude.
What dark he's orange. Wearing is like an orange.
Nah, this is like a...
That's Texas orange. Burnt
yeah,
orange.
Burnt orange,
burnt
yeah.
Orange.
That's right. Burnt orange.
Burnt orange. Too much?
What?
Sorry.
Anyway, let's get to headlines here, you rascals, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose for over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory. Like the Tucson, the Sonata,
okay,
the Palisade.
On, hold on. Hold on.
Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
None you buzz. Mm. Out of the chat.
What?
Whoa.
Out of the chat.
Kick them.
I don't know if you're familiar with the show. We do not use colors like salmon.
None you buzz.
Okay? Oh.
Salmon. Is it?
What color is it? It's salmon. Out of the chat.
Although I have found myself saying, yeah, it looks like a macaroni and cheese. You guys remember that color? It was good. It's like a yellow orange.
Is that like when the Dolphins brought back the orange uniforms that were tang?
Ooh, tang. You see? Yeah, like that's a perfect description for that color. But I don't use things like periwinkle or violet. I have no respect for violet.
Yesterday, what you had, I mean, like, I don't know what the hell that orange that sweatshirt was.
That was upsetting. That was Stranger Thing orange.
So yesterday, Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, they had a long press conference.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
During our show, we read some of the quotes as they went by. I listened to the press conference on the way home yesterday, Leroy, because I hate myself. I do. I don't know what else.
That has to be the only reason.
It's the only reason I could be listening to it. I'm like, oh, great. Let me listen to Mike McDaniel explain why he should call plays for 9 minutes.
I don't think, I mean, the play calling isn't the problem. Because sometimes you have to call plays based on what your offense has the ability to succeed at.
The thing that I got from him yesterday, and the thing that kind of bothered me over the last couple of days, and I know you mentioned that like this should be a player thing, right? Is the whole idea that it kind of feels like his players are walking all over him with, like, people being fined multiple times. It sounds like
they're only talking about one person.
I would think that they're talking about one person. But that person's one of the faces of the team. Okay. And, like, how does he not corral that?
Here's – dude, there's certain people, if you let it go once, it happens forever. Like, you can have a conversation with them and they're like, what are you going to do? I make 30 million, you make five. Right? And that attitude is what kills everything. And I would say this. I would say that decisions are going to have to be made if that indeed is an issue. Because you got 60 guys in that locker room, 70 guys in the locker room, and a lot of them are young. And if you don't have the right leadership from your veterans, then that cycle will continue. It's just like heat culture. You've always had somebody in the system to kind of let everybody know how it's done here. If you don't set that tone and have people that can relay that message to the rest of the team, then that is the bigger issue. So does it mean that sometimes you get rid of star players because you're more worried about the effect they could have on a majority of your team? Sure. Before we go that route, though, I think everybody needs to calm the hell down. From Tyreek to everybody reacting to Tyreek to whatever. People say things in the heat of the moment, and the only difference between athletes and you is that your heat of the moment things aren't recorded. And you think...
Unless somebody's filming you like out of Publix.
Right, you think you should know better, right? Oh, he's an athlete, he should know better. But that don't stop you from being you. That don't stop you from being human.
Wouldn't it be great if we had...
Let's give it a break.
Wouldn't it be great if we did have footage of Leroy calling the guy Danny DeVito for the risotto balls dispute?
If we just have his highlights, the next clip is him laughing at the guy who fell.
I ain't got no shame in my game. I'll film it for you.
Clean up in aisle five.
I'll film it for you. Like, they you know, those, like,
Those POV Ray-Ban
Have you been able to make amends with Danny DeVito, or you're just still, or is he, no, has he been banished?
Last time I saw him, I said, what's up, Garden Gnome?
Leroy. Now you're going back for seconds? He just healed up from the last fight. And you're
no, he didn't heal up. He didn't apologize or nothing.
Oh, jeez.
Here was
I wanted to go get him one of them giant lollipops and give it to him. And just start dancing like, oh boy, was it, get your cold cuts, get your cold cuts. I wanted to stand in front of the meat counter doing that. Be welcome you to lollipop land with one of them big giant lollipops.
You're really hosing down people at Publix.
No, I'm not. Just him. I'm friendly with everybody. You go to Publix and say, oh, look, he's a very friendly guy. He says, hi to everybody. What's up? How's your day? Right. But that guy, like, yeah, you were wrong. Apologize. He just shooed me away instead of apologizing. It was customer service my ass. So, yeah. So every time I see him, I give him the business. And he deserves it.
Here was somebody who deserves some criticism. That's Chris Greer. He was mad at Tua because Tua's putting himself at risk and putting himself in danger, and was pretty strong at his quarterback for doing so.
It was good to see his growth as a player when he was playing. I would say that the one thing that has come out of this, even this year, was the leadership part. Is all the players were talking about his leadership and the step he's taken. And I had a couple of our free agents that come in said he was one of the best leaders they've ever been around for a quarterback. And to see where he's come from his early time here was impressive. That being said, he needs to be available. Like, he needs to know how to protect himself. Like, you're going to get hit at times. It's always going to happen. But he needs to control what he can control. He understands that. Not being available for taking chances and risks is unacceptable to us, and he knows that.
All right, there you go. Chris Greer. It's just a weird way to put it, is it not?
Yeah, I would say this. You know what also protects your quarterback?
Do tell.
Offensive line.
Yeah, forget about the bums that I put in front of you. Stop running into DeMar Hamlin, Tua.
I mean, it. I mean, think about this. He gets rid of the ball quicker than anybody in the NFL. And it still, at times, wasn't quick enough.
I don't want to say I told
him. And you don't think that the protection in front of him has a lot to do with why he has to take off and run?
Well, here's the other thing that's annoying about it, right? It's like, okay, he had this year where he took jiu-jitsu and he protected himself and he beefed up a little bit. He didn't like, but like everybody, from what I heard publicly, right? I'm just going by what everybody said publicly. Everybody was thrilled that Tua lost weight and was making himself more dynamic. And I didn't hear anybody in the organization bitching about that publicly. And now all of a sudden you're mad because that blew up in his face?
Here's the most ridiculous thing about that. For a guy that spent most of his life around football, a contact sport, telling a guy he has to be more careful with how he gets hit is laughable.
Yeah.
It's just that in itself, in a sport where people get wheeled off once a week in a game, now you're saying that guy should have been more careful.
He's had a thing, too, where he was like asked yesterday about like durability and would he be more cautious of signing guys with it. He goes, well, I mean, football is 100% injury rate. I'm like, well.
Right.
Huh?
Right. Exactly.
But Tua is unacceptable. Like, this dude, I'm just telling you right now with Chris Greer, dude.
He's not helping his
kid. He throws everybody under the bus. Like, I don't mean to be rude about this, but typically people who can survive regimes for that long, they're great at saving their job and throwing other people under the bus. And that's what it felt like.
I wonder what they told Stephen Ross. Because if that's what he said to me, he said, hell, if Tua would have kept himself healthy, we would have been in it.
He said it again. He doubled down on it, too. He kept going with this whole theme. Why are you not succeeding? It's Tua. He's reckless.
His availability of controlling what he can control. Like, throw the ball away. You don't have to run around, be Superman, live for the next play. And the sooner he understands that, which he's told Mike and I, he understands that clearly, because this was hard for him, missing these last two games after he played all last season. It was hard for him. And what you love about him is his competitiveness and his fight. I mean, you guys have seen a little bit of how he is now when he's pissed. And that's what you love about him, because he shows that to us all the time. And it's not taking the competitive spirit out of him. It's just having him play smart and realize how important he is to this franchise.
Maybe he wouldn't have to feel like Superman.
Let me explain to you what he just said. Here's what a competitive does. It's 3rd and 3. You want the drive to continue. You see the first down marker. You go get it. You ain't thinking about injury. You ain't thinking about nothing. You're a competitor. You think about getting the first down. Simple as that. Okay? For him to say, I want him to still be a competitor, let me explain to you how sports works. The first time, it's 3rd and 3. And he has an opening to run the football for the 3 yards. And he throws it away. I want you guys to remember the reaction. Like, I love the way people after the fact say, no, 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 don't go get the first. Don't be a competitor. While with the other side of your mouth saying, he is an extreme competitor. He wants to win.
I love the questions were good yesterday, you know, from the media. The one thing that I did would have wanted to know from the media on Tua is, like, are you guys going to continue to do this? Like, are you going to continue to treat his injuries for optics or because he's actually hurt?
Right.
Because it's like,
because he probably could have played 2 more games if they would have just, and here's what I hated about that situation. And I told you, okay, here are the facts of sports. You get hurt. You have a medical staff, right? When you're healthy, you play. Simple as that. If you're not healthy enough to play, you don't play. To put him on IR, it almost seemed like they did it to look good and not to live by those rules.
Right.
You got to do it. You got to be consistent with it. Otherwise, you're determining what his injury is. You're determining. So who's to say if Now Tua said, I can't go because of my hip, and the team thinks he could go.
Right.
Now what? So you can't do that. You leave it up to the medical staff. The team get out of it. The player get out of it. And when you're healthy, you're healthy. And I said that back then, and I'm going to say it right now. Nobody in that building, in that front office, is a damn doctor. So stop making decisions based on what you think is right, where a professional is going to make a decision based on what they know is right.
We'll take a break. Back with more after this. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy. Taking you up till 2 here on the program. We got Rats Off a Ship coming on later on the show. But Leroy, can we get a weather update from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm? YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultation 24/7. Call them at 866-954-MORE.
Sure can. It's about low to mid-60s. Winds are coming out of the north.
The king of the north.
I can't tell if they're coming out northeast or northwest, because I can't, there's no clouds in the sky. It's a beautiful day. Not a cloud, and you're gonna get another chilly morning tomorrow.
Brisk. How do you do, Froggy?
Absolutely correct. Beautiful day out there, partly cloudy at the moment, too sunny. It's listed at 66 degrees, winds out of the north northwest. Like you said, it's gonna get cold. Okay. A low of 49 degrees expected tomorrow, which means by Tobin, 41?
I'll have to brave it.
Wow.
I will.
Gotta wear your Uggs.
You know, that's how I feel cute with my little furry boots.
Yes, absolutely.
I try.
Oh, my God.
Chris Greer yesterday, dressing the media. I just, you know what really my overall thought of it was, though? You know, maybe
CYA.
Yeah, big time CYA. I thought even at times he was throwing McDaniel under the bus. I was just like, sheesh, this guy. He is he's like Sergei Bobrovsky deflecting blame. It's incredible. Like, you can't score on this guy. But I just came out of it with just I don't know that they won't get it fixed. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. But I can't say that yesterday anything was said that gives me a lot of faith that they're going to get it fixed. That was my overall. I was just like, I didn't come out of that feeling great about where things are at. I felt like there was, like you said, there's a lot more CYA here than how they're going to get this thing actually righted and get the ship fixed.
Here's what I would say. I would say the simple fact that he acknowledged what the issue was, meaning they have a chance of fixing it. That being said, a lot of the stuff that has to be done has a lot to do with Mike McDaniel's basic fundamental ideal behind football. And I'm going to say he probably came into it thinking he could do it his way and had some success. And I'm hoping, I can't even say for sure, but I'm hoping that between the two of them, they look around the league and see there's a certain way you have to play certain times during the game. And if you can't do that, you can't win. And that's where I hope they can get. Look, they're both smart guys. I don't necessarily listen to a whole lot they say, because what can you say, right? Everybody who's watched the damn games can see what you can't do. It's your job to figure out why and fix it.
Yeah, but the thing is like, they see, from my standpoint, I think that I would have liked if your owner came out minutes after the season was over, right, and gave you the backing that Stephen Ross did, mm-hmm. from my standpoint,
you would go in there with a little bit more
accountability. It almost felt like they were
right
talking to Stephen Ross through the media of like trying to save their asses. And I'm like, didn't you guys like, you know, like he's up there yesterday talking about the cold weather games to Chris Greer. And he's like, well, you know, we can't play in cold weather. We just shoot ourselves in the foot. I'm like, yeah, always in cold weather. Like, that's part of it. And like, you guys can't play clean in cold weather. And it's like, no. You guys are making too much of it. I am? How many times do we got to watch it? And you come here and you're like, you know, we played that Buffalo game close. I'm like, that is great, dude. Hey, congratulations in a sport where majority of games are one score games. You played them close. You know, you thrown a lot of close. You want to know when you didn't play them close? Week two, when it looked like you didn't belong on the same field with them.
Right.
And right now, it doesn't look like you belong in the same division with them. And I'm sitting here being like, consolation prize. We played them close. Cool. Good for you, Chris.
I just think, what do you expect? I don't pay attention to anything that they say. I understand.
Words are empty to you. You're in actions.
Right. Because there's certain things that you're going to say that really
don't have
anything to do with what you need to do.
Well, this is the thing, right, though? He doesn't talk a lot. You know, he talks, three, four times a year, you know, after the season, before the season, after the draft, combine. Is that like those are the times Chris Greer?
And guess what? And I can do every press conference after all those events right now.
Well, could you? Because the last time he stepped in front of a mic, he was like, offensive line, you guys have concerns. And then yesterday
change.
Oh, you gotta go? All right, no problem, buddy.
Leroy's got a bad. I'll fight you when
Leroy.
I get back.
Okay.
But like you, Marcos,
yeah,
he's there yesterday and he's like, well, I just said that to back my guys.
No, dude. The first one was like, oh, I was waiting for you guys to mention that.
Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous.
That's the path you chose to go.
Yeah.
I just said that because, you know, I wanted to support. They work so hard. They work. So, I'm like, hey, okay, cool, dude. What are they, children?
Yeah.
You know, but Eichenberg, he works so. By the way, he was the only guy I didn't get mentioned yesterday. They've been stuffing this Eichenberg down our throat now for 5 or 4 years, moving him to every position, telling us what a great guy this Eichenberg. He's going to work out. Didn't even mention him, dude.
No. Good.
Writing's on the wall, Liam. I'm sure. Hey, yeah. Liam, don't worry, though, dude. I know you're going to be a Pro Bowler wherever you go. I already know. I'm fully aware. I'm waiting for the egg to be on my face with that one.
There's no denying, though. It was horrible here.
Horrible.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a horrible move by Chris Greer yesterday. Just completely, in a sense, I know he says things like we're going to invest now, but he's still downplaying it, dude.
Do you have that investing? We're going to invest in the offensive line now. Like, do you have that? Because that was like,
it's depressing.
I'm like, oh, thanks.
Yes, going forward, Teron and I had a conversation briefly yesterday. We're going to talk again here in sometime in the next few days or weeks. But also knowing that, yeah, this will be, we're going to have to invest in the offensive line now. You know, like Kendall did a fantastic job here for a few years, and we're just older there now and win. So, yes, this is the time again like we did back a few years ago with Austin and Rob Hunt and Solomon Kinley and stuff. This is a time for us to again start investing in some offensive linemen.
Yes, who could forget the great era that was Solomon Kinley?
Good times.
Crazy.
Up there with Columbo.
We're older there now. Oh, why? Because you mean Teron Armstead's knee has a wind-up toy on it?
Yeah.
He's 100 years old and he's tired.
Yeah.
Stop guilting him into continuing to play football. Let that man go make his music and rest. He's tired.
Do we get any money if he retires?
I don't know. You know what? Who cares?
He just doesn't.
The idea that they had to give him all the money he wants is a parting gift.
Yeah.
But he's tired. Let him go.
Hmm.
It's enough. Stop using him like he's a damn safety net all the time.
So good, though.
He is really good, but he also can only play 8 games functional, Marcos.
Yeah. Okay, so what about like one of those Kawhi Leonard programs where we just bring him in week 8 next year?
What, a half season?
Yeah.
Who knows if Tua could make a half season?
Oh, that is the
other. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But like he sits here, he goes, Tua, unacceptably get hurt. It's like, look, I wanted to pay Tua, so I'm not going to kill you for paying Tua.
Yeah.
But don't get mad at Tua for being Tua. Like, that's great, Tua. It's unacceptable that you are yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what? You gotta take the good with the bad. You knew what the risks were.
Exactly. You knew what you got, dude.
But the thing is, with me, with Chris Greer, it just feels like all the time, he looks and he goes, looks at a sheet of paper, and he goes, this guy's missed 20 games in his career.
I like him.
He's due to be healthy. Not going to happen again. Sign him. And then when the guy gets hurt, he goes, how about that? 100% injury rate in football. But then Tua, who always gets hurt, he goes,
gotta do better.
Why are you getting yourself hurt all the time, Tua? Why can't your body hold up to play football? It's like, dude, it's been the same. If anybody had any organizational control there, and you guys got a whiff, one of him working with John Beck should have been a red flag for the Dolphins immediately.
Yeah, told
you. Second of all, the idea that he was losing weight so he could scramble.
Ooh.
Everybody should have sat his ass down and been like, we just gave you $160 million. Sit your ass down, fat ass.
Wow.
I don't want you to move. You go play your guitars. You're not getting mobile. Stupid.
I don't think that was a stupid part. You should slide more. You should slide more.
He can't.
That's the problem, though.
He can't.
It's not the mobility.
He did it one time to an ovation. You know? He did it one time to a standing ovation.
That was great. Highlight, for sure.
Take a break. Back with more after this.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out. Bring them out.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM.
Ooh, should be posed there, frog boy.
I got something in my eye.
All right.
Sorry.
Sleepy.
It's a late night, dude. It was late night. At least it was a win, though.
You getting to the point where baby Tadpole is sleeping through the night? Like, is he a good sleeper?
Yes, but we made a critical error as a parent yesterday. We did the nap after 5 p.m. for some reason. We were tired. He was tired. We just wake up in a panic at 7:30 knowing this kid's about to be up for a while.
Oh, boy.
And he was unfortunately up for a very long time. Leroy, this is earlier than I expected to see you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a little mix-up. Somebody,
wow, dude.
We had to switch times or whatever.
Wow.
By the way, Tobin.
Yes, sir.
Ooh. Red, orange.
Darker red.
Okay, hold on, though. Hold on.
Hmm.
I'm not comfortable. Okay, neon red? Because that's a kind of red if that's a red.
I don't know, man.
Like highlighter red?
Yeah,
like
it's what's throwing it off is that Tobin has burnt orange on.
Hook him.
That's strange. there's an orange red, though. How about that? That's an actual color.
I think out of all these teams, I think I am rooting for Texas.
Because
I'm obviously not rooting for, I mean, if Ohio State and Notre Dame play each other, like, I'm canceling the national championship. I'm not watching that.
Really?
Yeah, no thanks.
Isn't it amazing they want to fire their coach and he might win the national championship?
Oh, Ryan Day?
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear it.
Oh, yeah.
They do not like Ryan Day. You know, if you win that championship.
They'd rather beat Michigan than win the national championship.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Let's mix it on up there, eh, Froggius? By the way, how come nobody's talking about how miserable Steph Curry is? Maybe he wants out.
Wow, right?
He looked miserable yesterday.
Yeah, oh, sad. He seemed very sad yesterday, though.
Finally fed up with Draymond.
Wouldn't you be sad?
Lost to the Heat.
Is that the only team in the league that's smaller than the Heat?
Oh, they're tiny. And Listen, you can be a big in lumber. You can't be 6'8 in lumber. Like
like old Draymond. Like old
triple single.
It was good seeing Jovic and Jaquez give him the business yesterday. I did enjoy that. I did enjoy that. What do you got for us today, Marcos?
Speaking of Jovic, yesterday he said something that's going to give you the goosies.
Huh?
If you're a Jovi fan. Something I've been waiting to see. You know what I wanted to happen when Jimmy Butler said, I don't want to be here anymore. You know what I wanted someone to do? Wanted them to stand up, say, you know what? Team's on my back now. 3 a.m. practices. But it's fine. It's a lot to ask for before a road game, before a road trip. Luckily, Jovic, after yesterday's game, took responsibility for how this team responds to the Jimmy Butler saga coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just responsible to help this team look better. You know, got to get in, make the right play, move the ball, and I think that's why they're really good.
Wow.
I'm telling you. Hey.
Wow.
Am I not spot on with this?
Hey, buddy.
Last night was a moment in time for this franchise.
Mm.
We're going to all look back. Sometimes you have games, oddly enough, it is usually against Warriors.
Wow.
But I remember specifically, I remember the Bam Adebayo game.
Man.
when he put the clamps on Steph Curry. And you just remember moments in time.
Hmm.
This one happened to be on offense. And Nikola Jovic hitting back-to-back threes and giving the DX chop right with a Steph Curry bewildered right next to him. And I just thought to myself, remember this night, Tobin. Remember this night, for this is the night it became Nikola Jovic's franchise.
Memorable.
I'm not crazy.
Well, right.
I mean, they'll call me a madman. And one day, I don't know when that day is. Maybe it's this year, probably not this year. Maybe it's next year, probably not this year. But maybe one day, when Anthony Edwards is here with Nico, hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. Remember Tobes told you about that Warriors game where the Miami Heat improved to 18-17 when he scored a season high 20 points. That this was the night Nikola Jovic took over the franchise.
Wow.
Yeah?
I'm telling you, Leroy.
Memorable.
I'm telling you. It was memorable. Anyway, what else you got?
We mentioned this previously, if you're listening on the Odyssey app or potentially watching us on YouTube or Twitch.
You better be watching on YouTube and Twitch.
Better be watching.
You better subscribe.
Put you in the face. Wendy says the Heat and Jimmy Butler may have to get used to each other.
Well, is it a good time for the Miami Heat to trade Jimmy Butler, Brian? What's the latest that you can share with us about what's going on in Miami?
It's terrible. From what I understand, you know, he asked for a trade 5 days ago. The Heat announced it 5 days ago. From what I understand, there is no traction on anything. The Heat have had discussions with a handful of teams. There is no offer that the Heat have progressed on. You know, some of these offers, you need a third or fourth team because of all the restrictions. Really, in the modern NBA, where there's so many teams that have restrictions on trades, you need Bobby Marks and a laptop to have a trade discussion. You really do. And that is stifling it. The fact that Jimmy Butler can be a free agent in the summer and has not exactly been somebody who will play his hardest when he's not in a situation he loves. I think that's chilling the market. And to be honest with you, while you cannot predict things in the NBA, you know, we have weeks left to the trade deadline. There's literally anything could happen that could change situations. I think the Heat and Jimmy Butler are staring down the reality of him returning and having to play for the Heat when this suspension ends.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun next Friday. Home game? Nuggets.
Whew.
Who also apparently he told, no thanks.
And here's the other problem.
Yikes.
Here's the other problem. You got to start him, right?
Yeah, of course.
What?
Right?
Okay. No way.
See what I'm saying?
I mean, unless it is just literally like, nah, I'm on the bench. Because they can't tell him to go away.
Yeah.
But you understand the problems. Yeah.
Or they come up with an injury. Jimmy gets hurt in training.
Yeah, his back. You can never test that, right? Back.
Yeah, you can never test a back.
Yeah.
Back and hammies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else I hate about? He's right about the trade machine. God, I hate the trade machine now.
Oh, you're on it.
It sucks. Everything is negated because it's like, oh, they're an apron team and it's got to be 100. Well, you got salaries that are like into the hundreds of thousands. How can you get 100% of salary equal?
Man. Right.
So I have almost trade machine, which is kind of close. They'll figure it out.
Close enough. You got close enough trade machine.
Last night I sent Jimmy Butler to the Suns.
Yep.
I sent Bradley Beal to the Bulls.
Wow.
Because he was coached by Billy Donovan. I learned that yesterday. I forgot.
Sweet.
The Pels, they get back Lonzo Ball, expiring deal. Josh Giddey.
All right.
Expiring deal. Nico Vucevic.
Okay.
You know, he makes a little bit of money.
Wasn't he already there?
Was Nico Vucevic? No, he was in Orlando, dude.
I'm thinking of Valanciunas.
You are thinking of Valanciunas.
Yeah.
And the Miami Heat get back Zion Williamson and Herb Jones.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. Simple as that, dude. Pew, 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 pew. Easy. Easy. Who cares if the Pelicans gave up the cornerstone of their franchise for
it's
Lonzo
not the cornerstone of their franchise. Okay. Dude, they have five wins.
Who
they don't
cares?
You don't have a cornerstone of your franchise with five wins.
Well, if Chicago just gave up a majority of their roster for Bradley Beal because one time they...
What are they going to do? What is Chicago doing?
No, totally makes sense. Yeah, everything.
What is Chicago's record?
I don't know. I think they're like... What are they, like 14-18?
Sounds about right. I'd actually be surprised if they got that many wins.
No, they're not awful.
Oh, they're actually 17-19.
That same damn record as the Heat!
Yeah.
No way.
But they've been wanting to get rid of Lonzo Ball and Vucevic forever.
That's true.
Every day, it's Vucevic, LaVine, Lonzo Ball. How do we get out of these contracts? Yeah. Hey, you get Bradley Beal. Mm. Reunite Billy Donovan with his college player.
That's right.
Still hurt.
Just saying.
You can reunite any. You can't... It's hard to reunite a player who can't play.
Now, the trade machine rejected this because of aprons or whatever, but...
What's an apron even?
It was close. I think I got it pretty close. Andy Ellisberg can figure it out.
They'll figure it out from there.
You're welcome, everybody. I just figured out the whole drama. We're getting Zion, dude.
Is that when you said, I want him? Then you went and...
Oh, man. When he had that dunk yesterday? Woo-hoo! That's all I had to see.
360.
Here, let's be real here. You think Pat Riley is going to trade for a guy that plays fewer games than Jimmy?
Yeah, because what is he, 24?
Okay, and?
He played more games than Tyler last year. Mm. You know, called Tyler fragile. Tyler answered the bell.
The body heals better after 24.
The salt water, right?
Something about that.
You know, I think it would do him well.
Yeah.
Fresh air.
Half moon empanadas.
Yeah, dude.
Full moon at
Tootsie's. He's going to be half moon in it, but it ain't going to be with no damn empanadas.
Hollover Beach.
What else you got in the mix bag, Marcos?
We go from one freakishly large athlete in Zion Williamson to another in Derek King Henry.
Oh, man. What'd he say?
He said,
he's a giant. I'm a giant. Just imagine if Bam was a running back.
Yeesh.
Anyway, Derrick Henry on his success and Lamar Jackson.
My success shouldn't knock his or, you know, vice versa. Lamar is one... Main reason why I came here, you know, to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, MV caliber quarterback, and you know, I've been seeing all the chatter. I think I forgot who said it. You know, celebrating too with him and Josh Allen, they both had hell of years. Hell of a year this year. So, you know, I feel like Lamar, in his case, I feel like his stats can be even better. You know, I feel like he's the best player in the league, and you know, it's only going to get better from here, but I don't feel like what I've done shouldn't hurt him.
Lamar's not going to win MVP.
Is it because Derrick Henry?
No, he's not going to win MVP because he's going to get punished for non-playoff success. He's because MVP is a narrative award. They're always political.
Wow.
And they're going to look at it and say, well, you got Derrick Henry this year. And yeah, great numbers. But
isn't that the media's fault, though?
Absolutely. 100%.
Like for it, here's what's funny about that. They will talk about a player ad nauseum, about him doing things the way he may do it or saying something or whatever. And then when they vote on these awards, they pick reasons that have nothing to do with the actual performance of the players. Stuff like, oh, he won it last year. Stuff like, oh, he hasn't had any success in the playoffs, even though it's not a playoff award.
It's not.
You're supposed to be looking at this year and this regular season only. And so, like, yeah, man, like, I think they're being hypocrites when they pick these awards. I'm not saying that Josh Allen doesn't deserve it. But the reasons why they give it to Josh and not Lamar are ridiculous. Just say Josh, you feel Josh Allen had. If you came to me and said, I think Josh Allen had a better year, I respect that. That's your opinion. But if you say, oh, I'm going to give it to Josh Allen because Lamar has two and he hasn't had any postseason success, you should have your vote taken. Because that's not what the award is.
But you know that's what it is, though.
Right. I know. It's unfortunate that here we are pointing fingers at all these athletes and you're basically doing some of the same crap.
Got one more in the mixed bag, but it just depends on how depressed you want to be honest. It's more Chris Greer.
All right. Lay it on me.
One of the glaring holes was the lack of preparation at the backup quarterback position.
Okay.
Christopher Greer addresses that.
We were in on a number of top flight backup quarterbacks in the league. We were runner ups for a couple of them that we wanted to get here. And for, you know, some financial restraints and compensatory pick stuff, we just couldn't go to those prices. But all those guys wanted to come here. And so it's a position that we did not take lightly. We were working through that the entire offseason, and the fact that some of those guys were willing to come here at what we could pay them, it shows how they believe in Mike and his staff and the offensive scheme and the players that are here. They're all excited about our skill group. So that's a position we will always focus on, and it will be a position that we will focus on this offseason. And I will tell you, every stone will be unturned at that position, including the draft.
Let me tell you why all these quarterbacks wanted to come here. Because the only chance of them getting theirs is having a chance of playing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the landscape of all the quarterbacks that are playing backup roles, you look for one or two things. Injury-prone quarterback, bad quarterback, or young quarterback. And you suck. You eat up those backup roles because that gives you the greatest opportunity to play. Case in point, Sam Darnold.
Right. And Sam Darnold was $5 million this year. Joe Flacco, $5 million. Right. Drew Lock, $5 million.
Well, listen. I'm going to tell you. Joe Flacco got a born-on date. Right? Like when you get to meet, please use by. That's Joe Flacco. Please do not use more than 3 weeks. Because he made him the starter. He was good for like 2 weeks. That third week, that cheese got mold on it.
Yeah, for sure. But like, what is the thing? Like, what kind of a thing is that to reveal? We almost got guys, except for the lack of resources we had, but they wanted to be here.
Again,
like, you're what?
You're listening to this and understand what this presser is. It is called the Justify Press. Presser.
But it's just so unnecessary. Right? Like, because you start off saying.
Of course it's unnecessary.
Just say, hey, we believe in Skylar Thompson. He let us down. Or we believe in Skylar Thompson. Didn't work out for us. Well, what is this extra, you know, toppings on the excuse Sunday because of.
People by nature find it difficult to put fault on themselves. right? That's what this whole presser was. How can I have this press conference without telling everybody it was my fault and then taking responsibility at the end? So he'll give all this and say, you know, and this is how it ends. Look, at the end of the day, it's on me, right? Not, you know what? Like you said, we had some guys we thought could get the job done. We were wrong. And now we got to do a little bit more at that position, right? Because there's a few positions that are like that. Backup quarterback, line of scrimmage.
Take a break. More to come here on the show. Streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, Miami 56 WQAM, and on the Odyssey app. Back after this.